This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Nightcap here on VSiN alongside the one and only Sean King. I am Tim Murray. We've got championship week coming up. We've got Thursday night football tomorrow night down in New Orleans. Did you play your home games at the Superdome?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not Yuman Stadium? Well,
they did not have Yuman Stadium.
Oh, so
I think that came into being mid-2000s, maybe 2011.
Got it rocking?
Oh, yeah.
Green Wave got it rocking?
Oh, yeah, we was good.
I know you were.
Yeah, we were elite.
Sure were. Top 10.
And by the way, you know, kind of tease this out a little bit. In studio this Friday will be former Tennessee Vols head coach Philip Fulmer.
There we go.
Also, he was the AD at Tennessee, you know, when Jeremy Pruitt was the head coach. I'm definitely going to ask Coach Fulmer, were they terrified that instead of Florida State, they were going to get Tulane in that national title game? Yes.
But instead, you won the Liberty Bowl. Got to ring that bell.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah. They got us. They got us. We'd have beat Tennessee, too.
You'd have beat LSU that year. LSU, I think we looked back. LSU was like 3-7.
Tulane had played LSU almost every year, and then some kind of way the home-and-home ended after my sophomore year. And when we were really good as juniors and seniors, we didn't play them. We'd have thumped Herb Tyler and that crew, too. Shout out to Kevin Falk, Booger McFarland, all those guys. We'd have beat them.
We need to get Booger on the show.
All right. He goes to sleep early.
Does he?
Yeah, it's kind of late start on the East Coast.
I mean, he's on Monday Night Football's broadcast, so we'll channel that. Let's bring in Kenny White.
Tell him to go in the bathroom.
One of our favorites. Kenny, we got a smaller slate, but a juicy slate, certainly, to talk about this week in college football. I feel like we've been starting with not to demean some of the other games that are out there, but we've been starting with the lesser games. Let's start with the big boy. Alabama, Georgia, this line's sitting at 6.5. And I'm curious to get your thoughts. You're a very numbers-based guy. And I'm looking at South Point just went to 7. We'll see how long that lasts. The public's going to be on Georgia. Is this a spot where there's too much overreaction? Where are your numbers on Georgia, Alabama?
No, I'm seeing Pinnacle at -6 right now.
Yeah.
But you're right. South Point at 7. My numbers are 8.5.
Oh, okay.
And I said weeks ago, lay the 3 on Georgia. Last week it was 4. I said, this will be 6.5, 7. And here it is right here. I can't lay the points.
Yeah.
Taking 7 with Alabama seems like a sharp play, but I'm not going to bet the side in this game. I may bet during the game, in game, but I did bet the total under. I just think this Georgia defense is so good. They're gonna smother Alabama's offense.
Kenny, a game that I feel like is really going under the radar, and we certainly haven't given enough time on this show, is the Mountain West Championship. It's going to be at San Diego State's home field, but that's, remember, Carson, California. But they had a nice win against Boise State. Here they are, 11-1. But they're laying 6 against one of the more surprising teams in college football this year in Utah State. Blake Anderson has turned that program around. Logan Bonner, their quarterback, has played really well. This number has, I think, opened 3.5 in some spots, has now ballooned up to 6. San Diego State's not a team that blows teams out. Any value you see on the Aggies here catching 6?
I do not. And I do like Blake Anderson a lot. I had them finishing 2nd on their side of the conference behind Boise. They overachieved. They won their side, and they get to face San Diego State, who I had winning the Mountain West Conference at the beginning of the year. They were the team I thought was underrated the most. Their win total was much lower than mine. And last week was a really San Diego State defensive game. They really showed how solid they are. Pulling behind 13-3 to Boise. That defense came on, but I think they got a big boost getting Jordan Berkshire in the game. And Berkshire had an amazing game, 11-15, 192 yards, touchdown. 46 yards on the ground, nine rushes and a touchdown. So they got a good spark from him. I think that Utah State will be very surprised how good the San Diego State defense is. If I was to give you one play tonight, it would have been the one. I just said San Diego State, make a movie and collect your money after the game.
All right, let's see if we can call Kenny. A little technical difficulties there. I believe he said he likes San Diego State.
Yeah.
So we'll get him back on the line here and maybe get his thoughts on conference championship.
Ooh,
weekend.
Georgia 8.5.
Yeah, and look, you know, he and Brad Powers, we have on Mondays. They think similarly, where they said the best number to get was when they opened it at 3, and now. Maybe the value – they both, I think, agree that the value's probably gone. They would still lean towards Georgia in this spot. I really want to bet this game, Sean, but I just – man, I'm with you a little bit. But we have Kenny back, and let's try to bounce through as many games as possible. Actually, Kenny, is there a play? Because I know the markets are really tight now, and there's not a ton of games to pick from. Right now on the board, is there a favorite play that you have still circled?
The San Diego State, my best play. I'm still getting feedback from everything I say, and I tried to work through with the first two games, but I hope you're not getting technical difficulties right now from what you're hearing. San Diego State's my best play.
Okay. The -6.
Yeah, the -6 on that. So we'll try to reconnect with Kenny here, figure out his technical issues. Is he still there? Okay, so he's still there.
He don't wore that thing out, man. Kenny's the hardest working man in Vegas.
I know, he's all over the place. Kenny, just bouncing around games that we haven't hit on. I'm curious your numbers on the MAC championship, Kent State and Northern Illinois. We're now seeing at 3.5. Some threes out there if you're shopping around. I like Kent State quite a bit. I like the fact that this is neutral site. It's indoors. I think that benefits the offense that Kent State runs. But Northern Illinois has been a great story this year. What do your numbers have on Kent State and NIU?
Yeah, amazing. Two teams that have allowed more points this year on average than they've scored playing for a conference championship. And both these defenses are below average defenses. Both teams run the ball exceptionally well. I made Kent State 5.5 to total 79.5. So I did go over 72.5. It's up to, I see 74.5, but I still see a 73.5 out there. So a little bit of value maybe going over 73.5 with two bad defenses.
I know that you like to put revenge in your numbers, which I find so fascinating. So we have a couple revenge spots. We have Oregon and Utah here in Vegas on Friday night, Allegiant Stadium. Oregon is getting 3. They got blown away, obviously, earlier this year at Utah. And then you've got Baylor, who lost earlier this year to Okie State. They're getting 5.5. Against the Pokes. Either one of those spots, the revenge spot that you like to look at, intriguing for you?
You know, the best revenge spot, and I've gone over it through the years, I love to be numbers based on everything, so I just don't say, well, it's revenge, I'll give 2.5 points.
Right.
If you lose on your home field, and then you play the other team on their home field, the next game, no matter whether it's the same year or the next year, it is worth 2.5 points. If it happens on the same year, it's worth 4 points. So Oregon didn't lose on their home field. And any team that loses away, it's been a break even, zero number for a big sample size. So there is no revenge in this game. I can't hand over any revenge to Oregon, even though they have it. So I didn't take that out of the number. But my numbers, I've only got Utah 0.5 point better than Oregon right now. So my number is 0.5 on the game. I do like the total a lot under. Made this total 53. And, seeing what Utah's defense did to Oregon the first time, I think they can do a similar situation. They held them to 294 yards that game, the lowest by far. But Oregon does score 13 less points per game on the road, and their quarterback Anthony Brown has been far better at home than on the road. On the road, just 56% completions, 16% lower than his home numbers. and he throws for 1.9 yards less on the road than he does at home. At home, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. On the road, 4 touchdowns, 4 INTs. So he likes that home cooking. And the other side, Utah, Kyle Whittingham is just such a great coach. And I think that's why I had him the first time. The home field advantage and Kyle Whittingham made the difference for me. And I think that he'll be well prepared. But Oregon's defense, I think, will be more well prepared as well.
And then before we let you run, we got about a minute, Kenny. Baylor and Oklahoma State. Baylor, a 5.5-point underdog. This one at Jerry's World. Oklahoma State wins. They're going to the college football playoff. And we got a pretty low total of 46.5.
Yeah, I went under this one as well, and we don't know about Jerry Bohannon. It's listed as questionable. They're a starting quarterback at Baylor. He didn't play last week in a must-win game, and anybody will tell you that's had a pulled hamstring before, because I pulled 3 on my left one and 2 on my right one. you're out 4 to 6 weeks, and there's nothing you can do. You cannot run. Those things will just hold you down. So if he pulled that hamstring and they're not telling us the truth, Bohannon could be out for a stretch. If it was just a strain, maybe there's a good possibility he will give it a go in this game. But I like under the total. Oklahoma State's defense is outstanding. Fifth best defense in the entire country.
Well, you guys heard it here first. If you have not paid for your Christmas tree, you have not went Christmas shopping, everything you were going to spend on that, put it on San Diego State minus the 6.
There it is. Kenny,
we love you, Kenny.
Always the best. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. There he
yes,
is.
Yes, have a great week. Thanks for having me.
There he is at K Whitey Vegas, and he's a true champ because I know he said he's getting a little feedback there. He powered through it like a professional. We appreciate that. That's Sean. I'm Tim. It is the Nightcap here on Visa. Looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams? Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, LA, and now New York. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, and alongside Sean King, I'm Tim Murray. We won't get into it too much because, you know, immediate-wise, it doesn't really have betting implications. But Major League Baseball has officially implemented a lockout. It'll be the first work stoppage in 26 years, I believe, for Major League Baseball. And, you know, nothing's better, Sean, for a league that seems to be losing popularity by the minute to have the owners lock out the place.
Especially after we've seen these humongous deals get signed in the last week and a half. Like, why would the lockout happen after, like, teams agree to give Scherzer and Baez and Stroman and these guys, you know, these contracts?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, that's a league. Look, it's a sport that I love very, very much. But I've been critical of it. I think the commissioner has made terrible decisions time after time, and now they're in a situation where, you know, it's December, so we'll see. But from all that I've heard, I'm not reporting it, just reading around, doesn't seem likely that we're gonna have much of a season this year,
you know, in baseball.
Yeah, I hope we do. I love baseball.
That would stink.
That would really stink.
Yeah,
so figure it out, rich people.
So, like, the guys that just signed those deals, do they get paid, or?
I don't
know.
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But, we will see. But first work stoppage since 1994 for Major League Baseball. And remember, it took them a handful of years to really get any popularity back. The home run chase in 98, Cal Ripken in 97. So, that stinks. I hope it's not true, or I hope they figure it out. It is true. I hope they figure it out.
My comeback just took a hit, too.
Oh, yeah. What do you got?
Yeah, I had the Knights in the over, and it was 4-1. They were losing, and they had gotten it back to 4-3, but then they just gave up another goal. So the molehill just got higher that we have to climb over.
Well, let's get it home. For you, Puck Stradamus.
I like it. You're positive.
Yeah, I'm always positive.
I like your energy. I want more of that.
Well, I mean, it's a good day.
Get her done.
It's a good day,
Sean. Get her
dead. I'm pretty happy. So, you know, I was a little down in the dumps earlier this week. I'm happy. Because your friend is now the head coach of Notre Dame. I've got connections
pretty
with
awesome.
Notre Dame.
Pretty awesome, man. He's a great guy, too. I'm so happy for him.
Marcus Freeman.
What does it say about Brian Kelly that none of the assistants look like they're going to follow him to LSU?
So, you know, there's a and we should have got Jimmy to tell this story. I think it was – when did – Saban took over for LSU, I want to say 99, 2000, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story that he sent a plane back to Michigan
Miami?
State to – get his assistants to go on it, and none of them got on it.
So I thought he went to Bama from Miami, from the Dolphins.
So when he went to LSU first.
Okay.
So went to Michigan, he went from Michigan State to LSU.
Right.
So it doesn't look like any coaches.
Yeah, that was a mistake by those guys, though.
Probably.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
So Marcus Freeman expected to be the next head coach of Notre Dame. Tommy Reese will stay on as offensive coordinator. Mike Elston, who has been with Brian Kelly for 17 years. He's staying at Notre Dame. Lance Taylor staying at Notre Dame. He's their running backs coach. So, unfortunately for you, that means the running backs job not open yet.
I like
yet.
Beeson. Yeah.
But
I will not be the next running back coach at Notre Dame.
You can confirm.
Yes.
Okay. You heard it here first. All right, let's get back to the NFL. We've been bouncing around a little bit. Did the Detroit Lions win a game?
I was looking at these odds, and the Falcons game, is that in Detroit or is that in Atlanta? Because the Falcons are kind of still like sort of like in the playoff hunt.
They are. It is in Atlanta.
So, I mean,
the remaining home games for the Lions this weekend, they've got the Vikings. They have the Cardinals December 19th, and they host the Packers. So their three most difficult games, Sean, are at home.
Because initially when I looked at this, I was saying Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like them going to Seattle. It's going to be freezing. Yeah, I don't trust them. I don't trust a bad team when it's cold like that. The only thing that makes sense is if some kind of way the Packers can pull away from the rest of the NFC, and that Week 18 game is Jordan Love, then maybe, you know, they get a win, home game, Green Bay has nothing, but it's probably more feasible or likely that game will have home field ramifications for the Packers.
Yeah. Because Green Bay has a chance to have locked everything up, right, by then. But I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
They're not. They're 9-3 right now, heading into their bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona is 9-2.
Okay.
They hold the tiebreaker over them. Tampa Bay is not too far behind. So, and now more than ever, with it being 7 playoff teams as opposed to 6, Sean, I just feel like that Week 18 game is probably going to have meaning for Green Bay, not for the division, but likely for a bye in the first round and home field advantage. So at 18-1, it's intriguing because, you know,
I don't know.
The Broncos?
Denver's in the hunt.
And they go on the road, and Denver seems like they're getting healthier. They're playing a little bit better.
You know, right now, Denver is tied for second in the AFC West. Like, Denver, Vegas, and the Chargers are all 6-5, and Kansas City 7-4. So, you know, the Broncos, I mean, their team meetings, they're talking playoffs still. I mean, that's kind of what, like, just – I mean, it's not unlucky. It is what it is. I mean, Detroit put themselves in this position. But when you look at their remaining schedule, Minnesota's fighting for a playoff spot, Denver, Arizona, even Atlanta Like, Atlanta's right there. Like, when you look at the playoffs on the NFC side, Atlanta is tied record-wise with Washington, who has the last wild card spot. So, I mean, I don't really feel like they get a game where, like, the team is going to be checked out. Like, so I'd probably take the, what was it,
plus
250 to go winless.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me who they're going to beat. I mean, 'cause these teams are going to be playing for playoff seeding, berth. I mean, if you backed me against a wall, and I don't like them going on the road, but I take at Seattle. Because I feel like by that time, Seattle, I think they've already checked out. But I think they'll be all the way checked out.
And do you think, I mean, think about this year, too, for the Detroit Lions. Like, they won a game or lost a game when Justin Tucker hit a 62-yarder off the crossbar.
They were really trying when at that point in the season.
When the Vikings hit a game-winning field goal. Crazy to think back, Sean.
This is DraftKings, too?
Yeah. It's crazy to think back, Sean, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but, you know, sometimes you make bad bets. I mean, I bet the Lions against the Eagles.
I took them against...
like plus 3.5.
Yeah, I did, too. And that was one of their worst performances
ever. They lost by 38.
Yeah, I put them in the yellow tape when that happened.
Then they tied the Steelers, and that ruined... I think it was Big Boss who had Steelers in the Survivor, and they tied that game. They only lost to the Browns by 3. I don't think they go winless, but I don't know where the win is.
I mean, it's Seattle or bus, you know?
Minnesota this weekend?
No.
Kirk Cousins?
They're coming off a loss to San Francisco.
Yeah, Minnesota.
They know they can't afford Minnesota to drop another NFC game. Yeah.
I'll say, I mean, it's unfortunate, like you said. Falcons and Seahawks would be the two likeliest, but they're both on the road. I don't know, January 2nd, Russell Wilson. At that point, is Russell Wilson going to be playing?
Well, that's what I said. I mean, maybe their players have checked out. That would be the only.
All right, 10-1. Lions' first win comes week 17 against the Seahawks.
Good luck. I'm going to see that
party out. Dan Campbell's going to be biting Russell Wilson's kneecaps pregame. It's a nightcap here on VSiN. Sean, we got to check in on your Puckstradamus play next, right here.
This is the nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the nightcap here on VSiN. That gentleman right there is Sean King at Real Sean King on Twitter. Tim Murray at One Tim Murray is where you can find me. What do you got? You have going tonight the Golden Knights
plus the over and the Penguins plus the over.
Golden Knights,
right? So over. If the Penguins and Knights win, I get the over. But the Penguins game was 2-2, and now it's 4-2 in the other direction. I feel better if it was 4-2 Penguins, because I do think the Knights are going to pull this out. They just won't die tonight. What a feisty effort by the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, they're down 4-1. Now they're down 5-4. Like, the puck is staying. Yeah, the Penguins game's over.
Yeah, man, it just became 5-2.
Edmonton's good, too. So
they're very good.
Yeah.
So I am out for the next couple of days.
Bye, Felicia.
Yep, got some family things to tie up back on the East Coast. So I will send in my official plays for our bankroll.
I'm writing down what you're about to say, though.
Well, I want to talk these out. All right. I've been going back and forth. My favorite play of the weekend is one that you and I actually agree on. It's Aiden Hutchinson to win the Heisman Trophy at 20-1. Can we, Aaron Oster, give me the thumbs up here. Can we put Aiden Hutchinson to win the Heisman Trophy? Well, I guess it's not going to conclude until next weekend. So that wouldn't, never mind. I was thinking if the Heisman Trophy was handed out this weekend, we could bet it, but.
I got a nice ticket on him.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all do. All three of us. We all went over.
Wouldn't that be great? Like the Three Stooges, we just walk over. Pay me.
Give me my money.
Yeah.
So that is my favorite bet, which, by the way, you know, we're just moving lines. No big deal. Down to 12-1.
It makes you feel good.
It does make us feel good.
Yeah.
It makes me feel
like
good.
Like, at least we're pointing in the right direction.
Yeah. I'm going to write that up for VSiN.com. 12-1. Still worth a flyer.
I'm pretty sure I need to bet Georgia. Because.
Why?
For Aiden to win.
Oh, yeah.
Before anything that he does, Bryce has to play at least an average or below average game.
So here is where I currently stand. And I'll give you all of my Heisman. I have five total Heisman Trophy plays. Now, two of them are very small. But preseason, I made two. Matt Corral, 27-1 here at Circa. And Brian Robinson, 53-1, which...
You just didn't know how bad the O-line was going to be.
That whole assignment that we did, running backs playing for top teams, I was like, all right, 53-1, I'll take a shot. Didn't work out. Then, obviously, in October, C.J. Stroud, 30-1, went in decently on that one. That was looking great. Before I left for Thanksgiving, I went down right there, and I grabbed Bryce Young at plus 220 to hedge.
Okay.
So I've got that, and then this week I've got Aiden Hutchinson at 20-1.
Well, if Bryce wins, because he's what, minus two?
He's minus two at, minus 200, 220,
yeah.
Something like that.
You got him at plus two something. That's good.
Plus 220. So all in all, I would net... I am going, assuming one of those five wins the Heisman Trophy, I would net money.
Okay.
I would obviously net much more if Aiden Hutchinson or C.J. Stroud win the Heisman Trophy, which C.J. Stroud.
Well, I have two Heisman bets. I have Kenneth Walker III at 100-1.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, even though he's probably deserving of it in some ways, I don't think he's going to win. And then I have Aiden Hutchinson at 20-1. So, of course, I'm going to.
Do you think...
make some moolah if one of those names are announced.
Before we exit the show, do you think... we talked about Will Anderson yesterday. I just have a hard time imagining if Bama wins that Bryce Young won't be the reason for it. But can we... should we put something on Jordan Davis?
No.
I don't think so.
His number changed?
No.
Yeah.
Has his position changed? Has he gone to the edge? Yeah. And well, I mean,
he'll be a top five pick in my opinion. I mean, but I don't know. I really think for the Heisman they're going to get everybody that they invite, and assign a number and a ball to each one of them. Like right before it, they're going to do it like the lottery and just put all the names in the hamper thing, and then they're going to pick one. That's what it's felt like this year.
And I know people think Kenny Pickett's got a chance. By the way, he was back at practice today. He had the flu earlier this week, so you always worry, and there are questions. Maybe, potentially, he has COVID-19. I certainly hope for his sake that he does not have it, and that certainly for Pittsburgh's sake and hell, college football's sake. I just like watching him play football. He's good. I don't think he can win it. I don't.
Yeah.
And they're 17th in the country. They're going to play a terrible defense.
It's been a weird year.
And by the way, I mentioned this earlier. The ratings came out today. 15.9 million people watched Michigan, Ohio State, and Aiden Hutchinson was the best player on the field in that game.
That's a good call by you and Aaron, because I didn't know that they'd even add him to the list, and you guys brought it to my attention, and I jumped on it, so hopefully it'll reward all of us. If you ask me who the best player in college football has been this year, I would say Matt Corral. I don't think he can win it, but I think he's been the best player.
I would agree. I think if you're going by who means the most valuable, What is Ole Miss's record without Matt Corral? 7-5.
See, I don't like to do that because, like, I think that kind of brings into play some guys that I don't think are Heisman worthy. But I'll say this, if I needed a quarterback and I had the number one pick in the draft, it would be Matt Corral.
Yeah. I think he's going to – let me pull that up real quick.
So if you're a Lions fan, you may not be getting Kayvon Thibodeau.
So let me, real quickly, we're going to do this on the fly. I am going to go in plays that I like, but I just want to do this for the sake of this right now. Team Future, where is it? Come on. They may not have the odds up right now. Player Futures, I don't know if
it's
I have.
For the draft?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because last time I checked, Sean, it was like minus 200. Kayvon Thibodeau would be number one.
I'm just telling you, Matt Corral is really good. If I'm Detroit, because quarterback is a position that they haven't fixed, I think Corral's in the conversation, just based on the college tape.
Matt Corral,
I'm a big fan of his.
He is – I'm with you, man. If I had to pick of any of these quarterbacks, he'd be my number one pick. He's a badass.
Yeah.
You know? He can run. He's tough as hell.
And I think there's a drop-off, a significant drop-off. Now, if I get Sam Howell from 2 years ago, the gap isn't that wide.
He had flashes this year.
He just didn't play with the same
– because he lost all the
energy
talent.
And emotion that I would expect from a kid that knows what's at stake.
He lost tons of talent around him. So,
by the way, shout-out to the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, they are fighting. Like, this entire game has been, I think it's the Anaheim Ducks they're playing on their end of the ice. Like, they are putting in a Herculean effort. I hope they're rewarded and tie this up and get it to a shootout.
All right, let's, we'll run through it and we'll carry it over to the next segment. My bets for this weekend. I do not have a play on Western Kentucky UTSA. I will sit back. I will enjoy my 10-1
future.
Are you
serious?
I don't like the number.
The king of hedging?
No, I'm not going to hedge.
Oh, my gosh.
I think Western Kentucky wins the game. Why? How am I the king of hedging?
Because you're always the one talking about, oh, you got to hedge the bet.
I ask.
So you're going to get my plus odds, money on an 11-1 team at home. Why wouldn't you guarantee a win here?
Yeah, okay. Talk me into it.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, you got a 10-1 ticket.
That's a good point.
Yeah, the
All
team
right.
that you
All right.
on I'll, the other I'll side let... is the underdog. They're also 11-1 and they're playing at home.
Okay. Okay. I will
see what friends are for.
Thank you.
See, there we go.
Talk me into it. You're right. Yeah. Now I can get plus money on UTSA.
Yeah.
I will guarantee myself some profit.
Right.
I won't eat into it too much because I want my Hilltoppers.
Yeah, that was an excellent call by you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Now, I remember I also had FAU. That was the other
long
shot.
Yeah, you had two teams.
So
yeah, they flamed out.
They did not. Once Western Kentucky obliterated them, that their season was over. So we'll get into the rest of the board. What jumps at me because I'm headed out for the remainder of the week. We'll get into that. What plays Sean hates, what plays Sean agrees with me. We will see. We'll wrap things up right here on the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday's episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod features Mattress Mac discussing his $13,000 worth of bets in last weekend's Kentucky Derby future wager. Anthony Stabile of New York Racing Association previews Saturday's Cigar Mile card at Aqueduct. Paul Zilm talks about circus sports. New Derby futures, and he handicaps weekend races. Subscribe now. iHeart, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or download it Friday at vsin.com/podcast. Ron Flatter Racing Pod is sponsored by first bet. It's been kind of a crazy sports night. Major League Baseball has locked out its players. Don't worry, the commissioner has put out a letter to the fans, which I'm sure is going to be riveting stuff and really win us over why the owners have locked out the players for the first time.
You don't believe in good old Rob?
Nope, not a big believer. Not a big believer.
That's Aaron's homeboy.
Yeah. I think he's anybody's.
He's a Rob stands. Yeah. He thinks he's the best commissioner in sports.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I heard him say it. Yeah.
That's something going on. Notre Dame's got a new head coach, Marcus Freeman, Sean's friend.
Yes.
Congratulations,
man. He'll do a great job there.
The University of Notre Dame, they are keeping what seems the entire staff intact, which is quite the impressive performance there. And Sean hit a three-leg money parlay.
Puckstradamus. A three-leg hockey parlay. Yes, Puckstradamus. Refer to me properly.
Only as
when we are talking about hockey.
All right, let's.
For those of you that don't know, it was Rangers puck line over in the Red Wings Kraken game and Vancouver puck line.
You know why they don't know? It's because you didn't tweet it out.
Yeah, I forgot. Mm. When I got a phone call, I told you. I was about to do it and the phone rung.
Unless it was Marcus Freeman offering you a job on the Notre Dame staff.
Listen,
it was not
I was
that
talking
important.
About college coaching positions, okay? Calm down.
All right. Let's bounce around real quick. Once again, Scott Seidenberg, he's up next.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The look ahead, and he will be sitting in for me tomorrow night. So.
I think I'm rocking and rolling with Scott tomorrow.
There we go.
Yeah, man.
You and Scotty. So,
I'll take some jabs at you in your absence.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. Just fully expect it. I played Oregon +3. I'll be honest. There's not a ton that I love this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know why you like Oregon in this game.
It's kind of out of principle. They just got smashed by Utah. Now they're coming back. Neutral field.
Utah's better than them.
Money's coming in a little bit on Oregon. It's moved to 2.5 in a lot of spots.
And I'm going to say Oregon can't cover and can't potentially win. I'm just saying they just played the Civil War.
Yep, they played really well.
Yeah, that's an emotional game for them, whether people around the country recognize it or not. Like in the Oregon and Oregon State circles, like that's a huge game. Then they're coming to a neutral site game to play a team that I don't think they match up well against. But
once again, I played it. I don't love it. It won't be on my bankroll. But I do have Oregon +3 for a little
good
bit.
Good luck.
I do like Baylor.
You like their uniforms?
I like Baylor's uniforms. And I think they can cover on Saturday afternoon.
You might be right here.
I'm a believer in their defense.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer. I'm with you in Oklahoma State's offense. And you know, once again, you know, like you've said with the Michigan game, and you're right. Michigan Iowa is a massive letdown spot for Michigan, even though what's on the line. Oklahoma State's in a letdown spot too.
Absolutely.
They just beat Oklahoma. Let's just be honest, their big brother, they beat them. They came back to do so down, what were they down? Was it 33-24?
It was a crazy game. Man,
it looked like it was done, and they multiple muff punts. Baylor did not play well last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Texas Tech almost beat them.
Yeah.
Shout out to Baylor's kicker, by the way. What a kick.
Yeah. So, I'm a big, you know, and once again, you kind of go – there were some rumors about Dave Aranda. Was he going to LSU? Is he going to USC? He's not going anywhere. He's staying at Baylor. So there's no worries about that. Their coach isn't, you know, going anywhere. The question that I have, obviously, is the quarterback situation. You know, Gary Bohannon did not play last weekend against Texas Tech. It was Blake Shapen. Bohannon is up in the air whether or not he'll play. But I think this is just too many points. I do like the dog, 5.5 with Baylor.
Can I present you with something?
Please do.
And I was doing a deep dive on these championship games today around lunchtime. Sitting there, I was talking to my wife, you know, as I was kind of going through like.
You were really listening to your wife, apparently, while you were doing a deep dive on college football.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. Yeah, I can multitask. it's a genius thing, so.
Okay.
Yeah, here's the one angle that I found that I think matters to Oklahoma State that might not matter to other people, but it'll matter in the outcome of this game. They are sick and tired of being Oklahoma's little brother.
Yep.
So everything they had was in that game. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let Oklahoma get to the Big 12 championship. We're going to kick their butt. They were in an unbelievable, entertaining, fun to watch, back and forth, top 10 game in that entire series.
Came, I think they were down 9 in the fourth quarter, back and won that game.
And I would think this would be a complete letdown game except for one occurrence. When they're supposed to finally be in the spotlight, what happens?
Lincoln Riley leaves
and goes to USC. And now, even though they just beat up Big Brother, all anybody's talking about is Oklahoma. And if he's as good, the mullet is as good a head coach as I think he is, he can use that to refocus his ball club.
Did you see how much Bob Stoops is making to coach the bowl game?
No, what's it getting?
$325,000.
And he's still doing the show.
The Big Noon Kickoff
show. Yeah, they could have brought me and you in to fill in. I mean, hey.
Come on.
Gosh. $325,000
to coach a bowl game?
It's unbelievable.
That is tremendous.
You would have thought all the money Oklahoma's given him so far in his life, he'd have just did it off of GP. But of course not.
No. Got to make that cash.
But you know what? I guess they look at it like, okay, instead of having to pay Lincoln all these bonuses and, you know, make him, you know, the highest paid coach in Oklahoma history, we'd rather give Stoopsy.
Who are they hiring? There were rumors today that Matt Rhule, then Matt Rhule shot that down. Bruce Feldman shot that down.
So I talked to some of my sources. This is some of the things I'm doing when I forgot to cut off to send out that hockey ticket.
Yeah.
So my sources say that's not happening, that they're going to stay. I still think he's in play, but he's also getting what he needs to stay at Kentucky in case he does. He has not actually signed the extension that was offered to him, but it does have more than just a bump in his salary. It has written upgrades that he feels like need to happen for the program. And a lot of times that goes to staff size.
Mm-hmm.
They want more people, paid people in recruiting, so you can go and pluck a high school coach from Ohio that's prominent and pay him enough so that it makes sense to come be in your recruiting department. Having said that, Oklahoma doesn't just have to make a hire. Like, this goes deeper than just hiring their coach. This is a pride thing. Like, this is a public perception thing. Like, this is their brand is on attack right now. It's getting attacked. So they have to defend their brand. They can't just go and make an off-brand hire. Virginia Tech talked all of that trash, the AD, about how great a program the Hokies were, and they went and hired somebody that when they announced it, everybody had to look up who he was.
Yeah, the D coordinator from Penn State.
Brent Pry, I think was his name.
Yeah.
Oklahoma can't do that.
No.
Like, they have to win this press conference as much as they have to get this hire right. They have to make it look like, okay, we got rid of Lincoln Riley, but we got somebody even better, an even bigger star, because what else do they have? I mean, think about when they get in the SEC. I mean, you're talking about an outlier, a fish that doesn't have a lot of a big body of water. Like, you've got this grouping of all these big-time football programs, and then Texas, which is kind of not too far, then Oklahoma is, you know, out here alone. So, I mean, they're fighting for their livelihood. So I think it's going to take a little time, because I think they're really going to bark up some trees that you would not anticipate would produce fruit. And so when they say
Marcus
names.
Marcus Freeman, probably?
No, well, no. I mean, when they say names like Cliff Kingsbury,
yeah.
I think that's the level of target that the Oklahoma administration is going to target. And I don't think they're going to worry about having somebody in place for early signing day.
Because they have Bob Stoops there. He's trying to he's holding.
Whatever
it down.
They can hold together, they can hold together, but they're trying to make a splash higher.
Luke Fickell?
Nah, I don't think they can get Luke. They gotta do something that makes noise. Maybe they bring Jimmy Johnson back. Who knows?
Speaking of Luke Fickell, I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm gonna lay it with Cincinnati.
That's right, man.
Minus the 10.
Hey, man, travel safe, man. Prayers are with everything
Thank
going
you.
On.
That is Sean King.
We're not gonna miss you.
Ha, 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 ha.